Zero's Road to Deadpool and Wolverine rolls on. We are miles down the track with even more to go. I'm BD, joined today by Jamie Jurak.
Good morning. Happy post-Oscars day, everybody.
We've made it. We've made it. Jamie, I wish we could talk all day about the Oscars because I know that's like your Super Bowl. But unfortunately, this is a Marvel show. I dare say fortunately for people like
Daniel. There's no space for Marvel things at the Oscars, Jamie.
Yeah. Tough night. Tough night. Speaking of, there we go. Welcome to the show, Charlie Ridgely.
It's good to be here, everybody.
Jenna Anderson looks a little bit different today because Jenna Anderson is at on her way back from Disney World. An incredible couple of days Jenna is having at Disney World. She's going to be talking about that trip on comicbook.com. So Charlie Ridgely, let me tell you something. Charlie texted me and said, hey, man, if ever you guys have like a host out or a spot for another person to come on Phase Zero for one of the bad movies, I would love to join. And it just so happened Jenna Anderson was out today, and we're talking about X-Men Origins of Wolverine. Aaron Perrine is here.
I'm convinced that Jenna is not really at Disney, that she just wanted to avoid this. I just want to put that out there.
All her social media posts are just a smoke screen.
Yep.
She's ducking Hugh Jackman. Oh, gosh. Can we do 45 minutes of I'm just kidding instead?
I'm just a mutant. Everywhere I go, I grow my claws. I might be a Wolverine, but I don't have paws. So this is X-Men Origins Wolverine. Review, recap, rank it, rate it, discuss it for better or worse. You could like it. You don't have to like it. You could hate it. You could love it. But for one thing, you're going to respect it, that we're doing the road to Deadpool and Wolverine with every Fox X-Men movie that came before it. Except for some that I don't remember which ones we're not doing. Oh, Ghost Rider and Blade. They're not part of the X-Men stuff. So we're doing only the X-Men movies and all of the X-Men movies. You know the drill. Phase one of this show is going to be Jamie's recap and our reactions as if the social media embargo just lifted. Phase two of the show is going to be the deep dive discussion, fun facts portion of our review. And phase three is where we give it our 10 score. So if you want to see the official Phase Zero 10 score ranking for X-Men Origins Wolverine, because we were way not around. I don't know if any of us worked in this industry when this movie hit theaters in 2009, but we do now. So you've been waiting 15 years to hear our score. You only got 30 more minutes to find out what it is. Jamie Jurak,
you were still in high school, I think, right? You were still in high school at this point. You were still in high school.
Yeah, I was a junior in high school. Going into my senior year in 2009.
No, I think I had just graduated.
Yeah. Yeah, but here we all are.
Yeah.
Here we all are.
We've made it. We have made it.
Thank you for reminding us how long ago that was. Yep. Is that a Leroy Jones? Oh, The Last Jedi. I saw LJ. I was about to come to Charlie's house.
I brought Hugh Jackman with me. My Brandon Davis Hugh Jackman gift.
Oh, that was cool. I remember when they sent that for Logan.
Yeah, they did the postcards for the every frame of the, and we all, like, I remember it was a mad dash in the office trying to get him, and a couple of us got him, and mine happened to be when his eyes, right before they opened, when the dirt was getting thrown on, and Brandon was so nice, and he took it to the Logan junket and had Hugh Jackman sign it. So I had to bring
Hugh
Jackman's eyes with me for the movie that's oddly the most important when it comes to him and Ryan Reynolds getting together for Deadpool and Wolverine.
Yeah, we got to talk about that. So, Jamie, Aaron, you know what to do. Jamie, will you do us the honors as best as you possibly can for X-Men Origins Wolverine? Remind the people what happens in this film.
Oh, gosh. Hopefully this is my shortest one yet. Let's go and start. We are in Canada in the 1800s. The sick little boy and another boy's there, and he doesn't like this sick little boy. And all of a sudden, the angry boy's father comes in, and he's like, boom, boom, and he shoots the sick boy's father. But then the sick boy goes, no, and claws come out of his hands. But then it turns out, and then he killed the guy. But that guy was his real father. And then the other angry kid's like, oh, I don't hate you anymore. I'm your brother. Let's be brothers together. Boom. Now they're growing up. Who's this? It's Logan and Sabretooth and their brothers. Okay. They're going to fight in every single American war because that's what Canadians do. They go through the Civil War. They go through Vietnam and they go through the World Wars, but not in that order. But you know what? Logan, it's James. It's taking a toll on him. He doesn't like all this fighting, but Victor's like, nope, I'm angry. I don't like this. And they're just going on opposite paths of brain energy. And then after all these wars, they get recruited by who's this? Stryker? You've heard of him. Now they're on a team. And it's a team full of mutants. You know these mutants. One of them's a Mr. Wade Wilson, played by Ryan Reynolds. What? And they're going on all these things, but they're not doing very nice things. They're killing people, and all of a sudden James is like, I'm done, I'm out. So 6 years later, he's back in Canada. Now he's got a girlfriend, Miss Silver Fox. Ooh, interesting. And they're living a happy life, but then all of a sudden Stryker comes back and he's like, your brother, he's gone crazy. We need you to do something about this. And Logan's like, or James is like, that's not my problem. Peace out, man. And then he's like, all right. But then, his brother comes back and kills his girlfriend. She's dead. And now he's like, oh, okay, I am going to help you, Stryker, because my girlfriend's dead. What can I do? And he goes, oh, the only possible way for you to defeat your brother is for me to put a bunch of adamantium in your body. And he's like, that sounds reasonable. Let's go. And he gets blah, 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 pumped up with all the juice. And he's ready to go. And now it's time. And he's going to find all these people. He's like, hey, remember when we worked together earlier in this movie? Let's talk. Oh, hey, who's that? It's a guy named Gambit. Let's talk. We're all helping each other. Oh, let's do it. But turns out Stryker has been working with his brother the whole time. No, I've been tricked into putting this metal into my body. Let's go do something about it. And so they're like, let's go through my island. Let's go where Stryker's doing all this bad stuff. Let's kick his butt. And then they're going there. And it turns out, Silver Fox, my girlfriend, she's alive. She was tricking me this whole time because her sister, Emma Frost, has been kidnapped. Look who else is kidnapped. Is that a young Scott Summers? All these young mutants are being kidnapped by Stryker. Who? This one guy is like, Stryker, we know your son's a mutant and that's why you're doing this. And he's like, that's not why I'm doing this. Killed. And then it's all coming down. Everyone's like, no, we're all fighting. What's going on? And then all of a sudden, remember when I mentioned that guy named Wade Wilson? Well, he's been taken by Stryker too. And now he's Weapon 11 and his mouth is gone. He's the merc with no mouth. And it's like, time to fight. Because remember when Silver Fox, when we thought she was dead, she's like, there's a story about the moon and a Wolverine. And he goes, I want to be called Wolverine from now on because of the moon story. And so we've got the Wolverine. He's about to fight. And then Sabretooth comes up and he's like, I'm going to save you because no one kills my brother but me. And then they're like, boom, boom, we're going to fight on this giant ledge and the backdrop's going to look like crazy CGI. And we're going to go floopity doop, floopity doop. Three people are fighting, but then all of a sudden, woo, claws go off, and Wade's whole head is decapitated. Bye, Wade, I'm sure we'll never see you again. Tumble, 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 tumble. And then all of a sudden, it's like, okay, great, we're all doing good, but oh no, Stryker has adamantium bullets, and he shoots Wolverine in the head, and then he wakes up, and he's like, I don't know who I am, and then Gambit's there, and he's like, do you know this girl, because she's dead. And he's like, I don't think I do. Or she's almost dead. He's like, all right, cool. And then Stryker is walking away and Silver Fox is dying and she grabs his leg and she says, walk until your feet bleed. And then Wolverine's like, well, I don't know who I am. I'm going to go with you, Gambit, and we'll see what happens. And then all of a sudden, all those kidnapped kids are like, we're going to go to this school. And then look at it, it's Professor X. And he's like, welcome, I'm going to teach you. And then that's the end of the movie. But no, there's one post-credit scene. Stryker, he's still walking. His feet are bleeding. And they're like, we need to question you in the death of that guy that you killed. And he's like, oh, okay, I'm sure something will happen come up with that. And then what? There's another post-credit scene. It's Wade. And his mouth is open. And his head. And his hands getting his head back on. We might see him again. End credit 4:30, everybody.
Snaps for Jamie.
I've snaps, but one note. This should have puppets.
Puppets for Jamie.
The problem with that is
even stock puppets. No just plan. I mean, they should have puppets.
Wow. We would have to start rehearsing. We don't rehearse phase zero. What you see is what you get. You get the first and only run. Live.
It's incredible. I'm just saying it is incredible, and I wanted a visual to go with it because I was so I wanted to watch it as it was happening.
That was good stuff. So that's X-Men Origins Wolverine, the abbreviated 4.5 minute version.
It's pretty much it. I mean, she nailed every single important detail.
Yeah. All right, Charlie, you're on the big screen. Real quick, your reaction as if the social media embargo just lifted. You can't rate it, you can't rank it, but you're
doing the thing where I'm tweeting like I'm supposed to be nice about it.
You can spoil it.
No, it's real bad.
Wow.
I was hoping it's gonna be one of those things where I went back and watched it and it was like this was a fun thing that wasn't as bad as we all thought it was. And it's not that. It's really not that. The action is looks pretty horrible. Jay mentioned the CGI. The fighting is, you can't understand what's going on at any point when two people are fighting each other. And the camera has this effect where when it moves, it like has a shadow trail with it. And it looks like it's moving like faster than it's supposed to be, but also slower than it should be at the same time. Mm. It's incomprehensible. Like you can't watch what's happening. And that's like only the first of many, many, many problems. The cast, Hugh Jackman is obviously great. And this movie birthed, Ryan Reynolds as Deadpool, which obviously we are now grateful for. Maybe not as much in 2009. And I'll go to bat for Taylor Kitsch's Gambit for a long time. I think he was actually really good. Probably my favorite part of the movie.
So what I'm hearing is Charlie Ridgely loves X-Men Origins Wolverine.
I'm not mad I watched it, but that's, that's about as much as I got.
All right. So it's like top three all time. Agree. Yeah.
Probably.
Aaron, what'd you think?
What's good as Madam Web?
Oh my goodness. That was my joke, actually, funny enough, is that I would say the same sort of things I would say about Madam Web here, where I'm like, instead of it feeling like one of those movies I used to watch on Spike Network or FX or whatever, or USA Network, this is a movie that I did indeed watch off FX and Spike and USA Network back in the day. In fact, this is so old now, which makes me sad, that like this is back in the day, like barbershop DVDs. Like barbershop illicit copies of things. So I distinctly remember watching this with a group of my friends in high school and all of us being very, very excited as little nerdlings to watch this movie. And then about halfway through being like, what? Why? It's this and a really, really scratched up copy of 300 that defines that period for me, where we kept trying to get past the first 15 minutes and then they start riding over the ridge going, And if you've noticed, I haven't talked much about the movie because I don't know what you want me to say, to be honest. I don't know what anybody expects. This is always the problem with these, is that I really wish people would think about when they're joking around about how, oh, I hate these Marvel MCU movies. Like, this used to be about what you could expect. This used to be kind of where the bar was for a lot of these. There would be exceptions. You get an X-Men, X-Men 2. You get, if you really love a bit Affleck, Daredevil, or, you know, the Blade, most of their Blade movies. But, like, a lot of it is just like, So, I don't know. I'm just, the tone varies so wildly. That's the thing that got me on the second rewatch. There was five different parts of this, Jamie, where I went, what? What is this? Which I really would have liked if it had either leaned into that really extreme insanity or if it had just kept it real low to the ground. The going like this, like Rebecca Blacking it, did not make sense. So, yeah.
I got to address one thing here that was said in Charlie's review or reaction. Mm. This is better than Madam Web.
No, it's not.
This was at least more entertaining.
Boy, the fact that we even have to discuss it means Charlie got a point.
When I think about the number score I'm going to give this movie, it makes me feel like I rated Madam Web too high. This movie is not good, but at least it has action. So, it might be bad action, but dear God, at least they tried. I don't think anybody on Madam Web even tried. So, that's all I got to say. Except as Jake Clarkson, because they wonderfully effort
by several people working on the movie. I think one person didn't try very hard in Madam Web, and unfortunately, that person was not Hugh Jackman.
Here's the thing.
You know, we have to the center, and he's really trying.
It X-Men does. X-Men Origins, Wolverine. I never felt anything. I just felt like this is this. I felt like some of this action is bad. It felt like X-Men characters, Marvel keywords and names in a lot of cases, like we kind of started to see this in X3, but even more so in this movie, were just that. They weren't actually representations of the characters or the keyword and what they mean from comics. They were just kind of used as for the sake of being used, which was pretty annoying in this film. Gambit was pretty cool. I'll say that. And I got no beef with Taylor Kitsch as Gambit. I thought he was good enough. Like the Gambit sequences, the card tricks were great, but I still long for the Channing Tatum Magic Mike Gambit movie. I'd watch the hell out of that. I'm not going to lie. I wish they'd make it.
Only but, if there really was like Magic Mike.
Yeah, if he was Magic Mike and Magic Howard. That's the movie I want to see.
But that said, this movie, like, you brought up Madam Web, and now that's all I could think about. For better or worse, I'm thinking about it, and I'm talking about it still. But during Madam Web, as we said on this show, there were several times where I turned around to look at Jamie and be like, oh my God, how is this in this movie? Really, during this movie, I never really felt that. But that said, maybe I'm giving this a pass because it was 15 years ago. And I just think it's not good. I just think it's just flat out just not good. But like, it was whatever. Like, it's hard to really, I don't know. Maybe that means I'm bad at my job, but it's hard to really even find stuff to say about this movie because I just thought it was just, I never gave a shit about much of X-Men Origins Wolverine. I just thought it was the flattest, like, cliche type movie from back then where they just missed the mark on a lot of stuff. And there's really not much to be like, I liked that. So, not a good movie. Jamie?
I think you just hit the nail on the head on why Madam Web is so much better than this movie. Because I saw Madam Web again this week, and I had so much fun. Wait, I watched
what?
X-Men. Yeah, it is a I watched.
Great time at the movies.
It's bad. Fun. It's a fun kind of time. Bad. I watched X-Men Origins again 2 years ago, and I was like, I can't believe I have to watch this again, even though it's been 2 years. This Aaron brought up 300. My review on Letterboxd for this last time I watched it was, did Zack Snyder direct this? Which is all you need to know about my opinion of this movie.
At least they would have had some style.
There was not nearly enough slow-mo in this.
Okay,
Snyder directed it.
Okay. Let's move on from that conversation.
I've seen Rebel. I don't know.
Listen, the thing about this movie is that it's we had just been burned by Last Stand 3 years prior. And so it was like, all right, this is their chance. And it's like, wow, they somehow made a movie that's even worse. And it's not just that it's like boring and that they introduce so many characters and it's like, oh, that's what you're going to do with this iconic character. But it's just, it looks bad. All the choices are weird. And I feel like they treat us as an audience as like idiots. Like they just kept like repeating themselves over and over and over again. Of like, exactly this, remember this?
Literally.
And yeah, but Madam Web is like doing it in a fun way with these characters that I'm like excited to watch. In this movie, I'm just like, they're like, maybe it's because I don't have any attachment to the characters in Madam Web, so that I don't care that they're butchering
should have
anybody.
Been exciting to watch, is what you're saying, Jamie. Like, I'm 100%.
Yeah. It should have been exciting. Yeah. I'm sorry, I just have more fun watching Madam Web than this. I will say one good thing about this. I think Danny Houston as Stryker was a great casting choice. I mean, I think he's right up there with Brian Cox. He's like a really great actor. And he was a good choice to play like a younger Brian Cox. I will say that about this movie. I like Danny Houston.
It's a real bummer that all they gave him to do for the last like act of the movie is
nothing.
And if desk, like he's this right here. And yell at a computer. Like every 3 minutes, just cut to Danny Houston doing this and saying no, and then that's it. That's all he got for like 30 minutes of the movie.
Also, the VFX.
Danny Houston's way better than that. He is way better than that.
The VFX on this movie were bad too. Like Wolverine's claws look better in previous movies.
Brandon, thank you. I was wondering what somebody was going to bring. I'm like, how is that possible? It's like when you were playing video games as a child and something comes out near the end of the video game, like the system's life cycle. Like, why does the end cycle or early PS2 game look like a PS1 game? It's very weird. I don't know what happened. I feel like I need Joanna and them to write a book about these.
Especially
so I can just know.
At the very end when they're all walking to Charles and that green screen helicopter situation through the woods is going on. And it looks at least 10 years old at the time it came out.
Yeah. All right. So Jamie, you're off the hook because you just did this with the Danny Houston casting call. We're going to go around the three of us. Aaron, you're at the top of the three of us. So you're going to have to go first. We all have to say something nice about X-Men Origins Wolverine. Jamie shared hers. Aaron, what's yours?
Oh man. I mean, okay. So the beginning, the weird beginning stuff with all of them together, you can see how someone upstairs at the studio thought that an X-Force movie would do numbers and that they just saw enough of Ryan Reynolds and Hugh together. They'd be like, hey, this is something we should probably pursue in the future. So that's something nice about this movie, I suppose, you know, that's
Charlie.
Good.
Charlie, what you got?
I took a lot of notes. And there's one or two of them were positive. One was just a quote, and it was the best line in the whole movie. When Liev Schreiber's at that bar, and he said, "You got insurance on this
place?
No, yeah.
Like, no, too bad." That was genuinely, unironically hilarious, and it just went downhill from there. It was the best part of the movie. And something nice. They had hot claws. We got Wolverine hot claws, and I wrote all caps hot claws, but I spelled it HAWT. That was just Hot Claws comic. It was all just the whole thing. And they made a joke about a superhero landing way before Deadpool existed.
Wow, that's right.
You just had three nice things to say.
I was like, superhero landing. He just fell in his face, and I laughed a lot. That wasn't to be funny. Like, the other one was supposed to be funny.
It feels like you could just keep going. You had so many nice.
I have more things. None of them are nice outside of those. Weren't really even nice.
I want to compliment Liev Schreiber's casting as Sabretooth. I was doing some research on this film before we did the podcast, and I saw people were skeptic of him playing the part. And I think he was a good choice. I think he was great as Victor.
Yeah, he wasn't given a lot to work with, but he did a good job.
No, yeah, he committed to that run and on the ground like he really did it. He really got in there. All right, we're gonna take a quick 1 minute break. We come back. It's time for phase two of the X-Men Origins Wolverine Road to Deadpool and Wolverine review. This is where we're gonna take the deep dive, talk about some Easter eggs, talk about the story points, the big takeaways from this movie, and then we'll give you our 10 scores at the end of the show. Over almost 600 people watching live right now. Make sure you subscribe to the Phase Zero channel on YouTube, youtube.com/C/Phase Zero. We hit 25 million views on YouTube last week, so thank you so much for that. Please subscribe to the channel so you don't miss anything, because we have real quick before we take the break, I know we set a break, but I'll say this before we go to it. X-Men 97 spoiler free reaction video / podcast bonus episode will be coming up this week. Next week, what's our movie of the week next week? I already forgot. It's anybody remember? I can go pull up the graphic right now. I think it's the Wolverine. I don't remember. Let's see real quick. Oh, let's take a quick break. I'll find out during the break. We'll bring it up in a moment. Take a quick break. See you in a moment, everybody. Subscribe to the channel. Welcome back to Phase Zero's Road to Deadpool and Wolverine bonus episode. Today's X-Men Origins Wolverine review is happening live. If you're listening to us in podcast form, no, it's not live, but I hope you're having a wonderful day wherever you are. If you're at the gym, if you're in traffic, if you're at home watching us on the big screen, we love you for it. Quick update on the schedule, I promised. Today is X-Men Origins Wolverine. X-Men 1, 2, and 3 are already available now. X-Men 97 spoiler-free reactions is coming later this week. A week from today, Monday, March 18th, X-Men First Class review and recap and breakdown and discussion. After that, 1 week after that, March 25th, The Wolverine. Not to be confused with today's X-Men Origins Wolverine. So be ready for that. We appreciate you guys hanging with us, and we hope you will join us for X-Men First Class 1 week from today as the Road to Deadpool and Wolverine, July 25th, rolls on here on Phase Zero. Now it's time for Phase Two of the show. We're going to get into some deep dive stuff. We'll start at the beginning of the movie. We've talked a lot about opening scenes on these X-Men movies and how they set the tone. Charlie texted Aaron and I. I don't know if Jamie also got
great. I didn't message Jamie because I didn't know if she was on the show or not.
Oh, okay. So Charlie was texting us last night when he watched the movie, talking about this opening credit scene. So Charlie, we've talked at length on Phase Zero about opening scenes and how they set the tone for these X-Men movies specifically. Well, what did this opening scene do for you with Wolverine here?
Oh man, this opening scene did absolutely nothing of any value to the movie or to me. Wow. I still don't understand who's dead. Like Jamie said, there was a dad but he wasn't the dad. And I don't know why. I don't know if there was an affair situation, an adoption situation. I have no idea. Two dads became one dad and one dad became dead dad. And
both dads.
It didn't make any sense. And it did set the stage for the relationship with Sabretooth and Wolverine to make absolutely no sense throughout the rest of the film, because their love for each other was never comprehensible. You could never understand what choices they were going to make or why in regards to one another. So in a sense, it did set that up. But it looked bad. It was bad. I had a hard time. It set a tone for, I forgot what I'm getting into watching this movie. As I told Aaron, that opening scene was completely out of pocket, and it had no business being that.
I think
there's a million things they could have done besides this. Your dad's actually my dad, but you killed him. So now we can run away and fight wars that aren't ours. I don't understand, but it is X-Men Origins Wolverine, so I don't think I'm supposed to understand.
I think, to play devil's advocate, not to say it was a good scene in defense, like I'm not a fan of the sequence, but I think I can understand what they were going for, which was they wanted this to be an exploration of James, of Logan, of Wolverine. And I think that they really just tried to start with some childhood trauma there. And I don't think it worked.
The idea of that, every element of the execution made less sense the more it went on.
Aaron, what'd you think?
The funniest bit, one of the funniest things that happened in the movie, I looked over at my wife after the freaking opening scene, and she was just staring like what is happening? Which is delightful just in and of itself. I guess, suppose you, that's an achievement. If you want a reaction, if you want a Sergei Eisenstein, this thing, you just want people to react. We got there. And the costuming was good. I'll say that too. I love a period appropriate thing. I was sitting there like, was Tom Hiddleston going to be secretly his dad? Is that what's going to happen here? Because he's always in like some weird thing with an ascot. But yeah,
I should have been a period piece and had ascots in it. And I think we would have had a better time.
The old Wolverine origins.
Mm-hmm.
Patrick King in the comments is asking, where along the way did he start going by Logan instead of James? And I'm pretty sure that the very end of the movie is what answers that. When he gets shot in the head, that's when he suddenly loses all of his memory, looks at his dog tag, the new dog tag that he made during the adamantium installation process, and declares, my name is Logan now instead of James.
His name's James Logan? Like, he had two names, right?
But it only said Logan on the dog tag.
Right.
Yeah, James is his real first name.
And he's Wolverine because of the moon.
Listen. Yeah.
You had to be there? Is that what you're going to say?
2009, you had to be there. That first thing we were talking about, that's really, I mean, X3 kind of did a little bit, but for the biggest, I'd say, step towards lack of continuity for the X-Men saga here was recasting Liv Schreiber, which, fine, whatever, no big deal. You got
this
a couple
movie recasts. Was a smack in the face to the idea of continuity, to the word continuity. It was just, continuity was its mortal enemy.
So they, you know, they, there's no... Wolverine and Sabretooth met in the first X-Men movie. So did Scott Summers and Sabretooth. They fought in the beginning of the first X-Men movie. That's a big moment for Scott Summers, the fact that he is captured by Sabretooth, by Victor in this movie. And there's no mention of it in the first X-Men movie. It's one of those things that, like, is it a big deal as me, a continuity snob? Absolutely. As a casual moviegoer, no, not really. I get it. It's not one of those things they may have planned ahead or known they were going to do. This was before the time of shared universes or really long franchises, so I get it. But it is definitely the biggest step so far during our road to Deadpool and Wolverine rewatch.
I've got a snarky / question thing. Is Cyclops in this more than Last Stand?
Yeah, definitely.
I probably think so, yeah.
Absolutely.
Jeez, that's crazy to think.
I do want to say also, just for, so we have a, we're looking at the bigger picture here. And again, I don't want to give this movie an excuse because it doesn't deserve one, but we have to take into consideration the time it was made, the whole writer strike situation, the first writer strike, not the one we just went through, but this movie, like, they brought in, first of all, David Benioff wrote it. And then
who also, by the way, script, for those listening, that's the guy from Game of Thrones.
Yeah, the one that wrote the whole bad season and directed the bad season, that guy. So there was a script written. He was one of the writers on it, and they brought in more writers at the last minute, right before the strikes were about to happen, to try and do a quick touch-up. But then during production, they couldn't alter it in any way. So we ended up with a lot of mess, which is even more baffling, considering you have one improvisational, like, gem in your cast and you sew his mouth shut. But that is there's context to some of this. Like, we added Scott Summers late, we did this stuff and didn't expect it because they were flying by the seat of their pants with no writers to actually work on anything productive.
So now we're on to the next scene. Team X, which is basically a Suicide Squad comprised of a Hobbit, Martin Kimi, Ray Donovan, Wolverine some version of Wade Wilson and a black eyed pea. So that was quite a sequence there. This team is interesting. It's Blob, Bolt, Agent Zero, Sabretooth, Wraith, Wolverine, Wade. For some reason, I have not watched this movie in a very long time. I thought Gambit was in that scene. Like I gaslit myself into thinking Gambit was part of that sequence.
I did the same thing during the movie when Gambit showed up later. I was like, he was in that scene. And this has been 30 minutes since I've watched that scene. I had to go back.
Exactly.
He was not there. He was not there.
Yeah.
I thought for sure he was in that elevator.
This is basically Stryker's team, which then calls back to X2, where Stryker, he says, mutants, they serve a purpose as long as they can be controlled. So he recruited Wolverine and Sabretooth right out of their world war efforts and put them on this Marvel Suicide Squad. I don't think they actually give it an official name in the movie, right? But yeah. And Stryker's son is in the movie later with the two different color eyes, who was in X3, right? Or was that X2? X2. All right. Okay. So this is really just one of those things where I think they looked at a list of things that were, they had opportunities to fill in the blanks on the first three X-Men movies. And they were like, what is the simplest thing we could check there? Oh, Stryker's backstory with his son. We could put a young version of his son in there. Give him two eyes. The audience will know. Two different colored eyes. The audience will know, you know, why does James start going by Logan? All that stuff. Like, it was just so, God, basically done. Like, the most simplified versions of these backstories.
And of things that we don't need to know.
Yeah.
His name's Logan. It's fine. You know, with the go by Wolverine because he has claws and he's kind of a rabid animal, which this movie didn't really want to. He at that point, he wasn't going to be that because he was already Hugh Jackman and we already all loved him. But like, this was never going to be comic accurate Wolverine where he is like a little hairy animal. But, you know.
Here's still. One. I know Jenna would have liked to talk more about big comics cut here. But the old couple that rescues naked Wolverine, which honestly, that scene reminded me of Hulk in the Avengers. You son, you have a condition. Their last name is Hudson, and that's a reference to Vindicator and Guardian Alpha Flight characters. And that's where Wolverine gets his jacket that we saw in the first X-Men movie with the three stripes on it. I want to give a shout out to New Rock Stars because I watched their video and I got that Easter egg from watching their video before doing this show. They do great stuff over there. They do Easter eggs of Easter eggs over there. Is there anything like? All right, I'm just going to open it up because there's not much I have. I have like fun facts and credit scene stuff to talk about. But is there anything we want to dive into?
I just want to say that I hate that scene of the old couple because it starts out being really sweet and then it's like they get murdered and it's like that can work like in a future movie we're going to talk about Wolverine where people that help him get murdered, like that's earned because it's a well-written movie. And this movie is like, oh wow, that old lady just got shot and is dead now. It's just like, it's just mean and it hasn't earned the right to be that mean and I don't care for it.
It was so interesting that when they showed up, I was like joking with Ariel because at that point, this is Mystery Science Theater 3000 in our house. We just talking over the movie because why not? And you're like, man, I sure hope I don't find any little dude in a rocket. That would be bad or, you know, like other stuff. And then they get murdered. I was like, yo, that's worse than anything we've said in the last 25 minutes. Completely out of pocket. You remember how many times regular viewers of the show know I get nervous when there are long talking sequences and there is real danger present that someone is going to get shot. To have it happen in this movie was so just like beyond the pale. I'm like, man, that was wild. They were just nice old people. That's wild. Yeah, just got up out of there.
Like my pocket.
I want Jamie to expand on that because I know she can, but I want you very, there's a movie down the line. Same character, Jamie. Something similar happens. And honestly, I'm just going to, for the sake of arguing with you, I'm going to argue with you. In that movie, it is a way more vicious death for the family that helps Wolverine.
Yeah, and I'm saying that like that it's more earned. Like it's harrowing and horrible, but you feel it when it happens in that movie. I'm saying like this is so much worse than that because it's just dumb. I'm not saying it's worse in the terms of it's like more brutal. I'm saying it's worse as in writing wise. It's worse in the other movie.
It almost felt like a gag that wasn't a gag.
Yeah,
like a oh sorry.
It just like doesn't propel anything. No, I mean, I agree with you. I agree with you. It doesn't actually propel the story forward in any meaningful way. I get like usually that's a trope to make a villain if they kill some friendly random new characters. But I also like the parallel stuff that they tried to do with Sabretooth saying like, you're an animal, Wolverine or Logan, just James, whatever he calls him at that point in the movie. Just wait till you'll see, you're just like me. And then they try to do this whole mirror it thing. And then at the end, it's ultimately like, oh, you're an animal. Kill me. Like doesn't, I don't think he actually says kill me. That's basically what he's saying. And he's almost reverse psychologying it, like saying so much that Wolverine is an animal. So he knows he's going to try to resist being an animal, therefore save his own life. But those of us who saw the first X-Men movie knew Sabretooth wasn't going to die. But I don't know, that whole trying to mirror it parallel thing between the two characters just didn't really do much for me.
But also that same thing, I was thinking about that too. Like the parallel already does not make sense, like you're saying. But I also don't get the point at all to begin with, because at what point does Wolverine ever act like an animal that can't be controlled? Like he was in wars and stuff, but like people in wars justify being in wars based on what side. Like it wasn't like he was just out murdering people. When it came to murdering people for sport, he was like, no, I'm good. Like, at every instance where he could have been animalistic, he was like, nah, I don't feel that way.
Yeah, those opening credits were good, though.
Yeah, I'm just saying, like, that narrative never made sense to me.
I'm just like, going to keep...
He was never acting like a Wolverine, like this right. uncaged right. rabid animal that
right.
he was painted to be. You know, we get that scene in one of the later X-Men movies, I don't know. Not Dark Phoenix. What's the one where he actually is animal Wolverine, like X-23?
Dark Phoenix.
Weapon X, where he gets like, he's all hooked up.
Apocalypse.
And feral and
stuff. Oh, Apocalypse. Yeah, no, that is Apocalypse.
It was one of the bad ones. Right. I couldn't remember. But where he's like all feral. Like that's what the animalistic side of him that at no point have we seen in this movie that they keep talking about. Like Liev Schreiber's like, no, you're an animal inside. It's like, why? Because he killed your dad? He thought he was defending his dad. Like, he shouldn't have done it, maybe, but it wasn't that crazy of a thing in a movie like this. Shouldn't have
done it, maybe.
It's like, it's the tamest thing that anyone's done in this movie. So, you know, I can let it go when, like, he's going to murder a whole village of, like, African people because they're there. And then Wolverine's the only one to be like, maybe we, what if we didn't? Oh, no, but he's the animal. It never made any sense. It narratively was so far removed from the character they built in the film that I had a hard time with any of it.
I think that Sabretooth is just projecting. Like he knows he's an animal, so he wants his brother to be like him. So he like I think that that's really what it is. Not to say it comes across very clearly, and it right. would have been better if we would have got animal Wolverine, because it's a clean slate. That's one thing about this movie. They could have clean slated him. They gave him like he has his old memories. He could have been a real bad guy because he gets, you know, that happens a lot in soap operas. You know, you lose your memory and then you become a whole nice new guy. And they could have done that. They could have made him a wild, crazy dude, and then he loses memories and now he's a better guy.
Show us that he has the potential to be that. Like he doesn't have to even be a horrible person for us to know that something bad happens, he can flip a switch and he can go crazy. Like,
well, I think the closest we come to that, I think that the movie starts that trajectory after the adamantium process. He breaks out like an animal and then he starts killing people. He throws an entire Humvee at a helicopter. He misses, so he jumps on the helicopter himself and he lights a fire with a spark and he's willing to do these savage kills to people who deserve it. That's the thing. Never animalistic in the fact that it's this unsolicited sort of like going crazy, killing people, especially the innocent people thing, which pisses him off, which he makes a note of before he kills Agent Zero. But you know, I think that's the whole point they're trying to make, is that he's willing to start killing. It's like, can you break Batman and make him start killing? Not Zack Snyder's Batman, every other Batman.
I was about to say.
So, I know. But so...
There wasn't one next snap.
And it starts going that way to see how far, if he's looking down, if he gets pushed, will he break down into the animalistic side of himself? And the movie is ultimately trying to say, no, he won't. He's not one of the bad guys. He's not one of the animals. It doesn't really work because it doesn't come across. It's very cliche. It's on the nose. It's introduced too early when it isn't even a factor, like you just said. But yeah, one of the things that makes the least sense about this movie though is Deadpool.
Yeah.
I mean, what was that? Throughout the movie, Stryker's talking about, there's like this kind of ongoing subtle thing about Stryker's experimenting on mutants, trying to put their powers in one mutant create Homelander, I guess, and ultimately creates this mouthless Deadpool that fights Sabretooth and Wolverine on top of a nuclear plant. And I mean, this has been talked about at length. There's nothing to say about this that hasn't been said before, but it's one of the stupidest things I've ever seen.
I forgot how really bad it was. And in my head, it's the worst scene. And then when I get there, I'm like, no, that's even worse than I thought.
I will say Ryan Reynolds had a good swordplay scene. He did have a good before the transformation. I think they watched Blade Trinity and said, we can do something good with this guy in another superhero film. And Ryan Reynolds did not audition to play Deadpool. He just got the part because he cared so much about the character. And I imagine he just felt like one of the Unsullied when he got the final project. Like, there's just, this is just bad. And there's nothing I can't add to the conversation in any way that hasn't been said that hasn't already been had.
The fact that he got to do this again is a genuine miracle. I mean, because, you know, it wasn't his fault that it was such a horrible version of this character, but it is like shocking that he was able to get back to this character and do it the right way after how hated it was. I mean, the fact that audiences rolled out to see him do it again is impressive, because I honestly don't even know, like, the kind of, he wasn't as powerful as he is now in terms of, you know, owning a bunch of companies and football teams and stuff. And now he's like, but back then I still can't believe he got that movie made.
Mm-hmm. And I think a big part of that, go ahead, Aaron.
Well, I was going to say, it's very funny to me too, Jamie. Like, I always wonder, because there's so many moments where he takes like shots at this or like Green Lantern in like his later work. And I'm always like, dang, he really caring that inside of his soul. And then you watch this and I'm like, oh yeah, the beef would never die. It would be on site with the producers. It would be on site with anybody involved that was not Hugh Jackman and maybe, I guess, the director. Like, people did led me astray.
Gavin Hood isn't doing anything. It's not like he's out working in stuff that we've seen.
All right, we gotta move a little quickly here. We're running pretty late.
The one thing that, to his credit, you know, how he got to do it again, when you watch the first act of the movie, he does enough before he's like shut down and mouthless to prove to everyone that he could do it. And that's, I think, that was a big key in people coming back, is they remember the beginning part of the movie. He's not full-on Wade Wilson that we know now, but he was witty enough, he was sarcastic enough, he was good with the swords. Like, there was enough there that you're like, oh, I would want to watch this guy do it again, because I can see what could have been in these couple of scenes. And I know I read there was a lot of, like, at the time they didn't want that vulgar of a character, and that was a big reason why they took the mouth away, because they were worried about how a vulgar superhero character would play with audiences. And I don't understand if you've met anyone that wants to watch these movies before, because why would you think that? But that was a huge part of it. And the early version of him is very tamed down in the movie, but there is that spark. There's that glint in his eye and you're like, okay, see, that's Wade Wilson. Like, that's, you get excited for the end of the movie if you don't know what's coming, because you're like, oh, he could become Wade Wilson. And then he becomes Cyclops with sword fingers. And it's just not... Did Deadpool ever get those powers in the comics? Like, could he ever have Cyclops eyes? Have the one katana middle finger sword? Like...
I can't... I don't know.
I have no idea.
Yeah, I don't know.
But...
Jenna!
Yeah, where's Jenna? Where's our comics encyclopedia when we need her? All right, real quick. Here's the facts I wrote down about this movie. If you guys have anything else you want to throw in real quick before we go into our review portion of the show, Liv Schreiber gained 40 pounds to play this role. He thought about wearing a bodysuit like Vinnie Jones did as Juggernaut, but it made him feel pretty bad about himself, so he decided to just gain weight, and Hugh Jackman told him, you go to work out, mate. So he did. There was a deleted scene with Sabretooth where he beats up slash possibly kills the Blob. I mean, he went around, he killed Charlie Pace earlier in the movie, who was electrifying the whole place at the circus. There was a scene where he got the information. He showed up at the boxing ring after Wolverine did. There's also a deleted scene on the Blu-ray that would have been a post-credit scene where Wolverine is drinking at a bar in Japan, which would have set up The Wolverine, which is our movie for 2 weeks from now, which followed this movie by a few years. There's also a deleted scene, which harkens back to that fake script that Matthew Vaughn got that we've heard about, where Aurora Storm was in that African village as a little kid. And there are so many young versions of X-Men characters that we saw in previous X-Men movies that would have just been another one, but it ended up getting cut from the film. They filmed it though. And the movie made $373 million worldwide on a budget of $150 million. So not a huge success after marketing and all that. I mean, ultimately it was a successful film. They went on to make two more solo Wolverine projects, but not like a resounding boom. This was the first X-Men movie to be released after the Marvel Cinematic Universe had started in 2008 with Iron Man. So it was just at an interesting time in comic book movies, and it was just not a great film. So anything else we want to talk about in terms of the deep dive, breakdown, fun fact, conversation portion of X-Men Origins Wolverine, or have we had enough?
Get me out of here.
I want to share my gratitude for James Mangold, because there's two Wolverine movies after this, and none of them give me this reaction. And I have to believe that's because of James Mangold, who directed both of them. So thank you, James Mangold. I just want to say, I think that maybe there's a reason Will.i.am's not in more movies.
Wow. Catching strays. Bro is catching strays.
Of all the people to give the big exposition scene, they picked the guy who doesn't know how to act. And so I thought that was a fun choice.
What did the Black Eyed Peas do to you, bro?
They released OMG into the world. So that's what they did. I'll never forgive them.
Charlie loves Fergalicious confirmed. We're going to take a quick break, and then it's time for the 10 score. The moment you've waited 15 years to hear what a Phase Zero podcast ranks X-Men Origins Wolverine on a 10 scale. We'll give it the official average score, and that'll be a graphic that Peter has to cook up for us later so we can tweet it, and everybody can argue about it on social media, but that's not our problem right now. It's about giving a 10 score ourselves. So we'll take a quick break. Great opportunity to subscribe to the channel on YouTube. Thank you so much in advance. See you in a moment. Welcome back to the Phase 3 of Phase 0 X-Men Origins Wolverine review. And this is the review portion of the show. We have over 700 people watching live right now. The stakes are so, so, so high. Almost like the people who made this. I mean, I'm not going to make that joke. I'm not going to do it. Out of 10, Charlie, you're at the top of the screen. Real quick, give it a score and feel free to justify it how you need.
I wish I would have watched you talk about Madam Web. I want to give it a lower score of whatever you gave that.
I wish I could. Say, but...
out of 10, 2 out of 10, 2.5 maybe, or do we do halves? Is that fine? I don't know.
Do whatever you can do, as many decimals as you want.
Then let's go 2.5. 2.5 out of 10 is what I would give.
2.5 out of 10.
What I would give Wolverine. 3 out of 10 after when Gambit's on.
So what's your final score?
Let's be nice today. We'll round up and say 3, just for Taylor Kitsch.
All right. Nice for Charlie, but for the rest of us, that's a low. We're way more generous than that.
Wow. Oh, I didn't know how we did this.
No, I love it. I love how it's going to really hear some thoughts when we compare it to other movies.
It's a bad movie. And like, there are bad movies that are really redeemable because they're hilarious. Some of them came out this year, you know, in theaters and didn't have Spider-Man. But you can be really bad and be entertaining. And this movie is not that movie. This movie's not... I'm trying to think of some other good examples. You know, I think there's like Last Stand has some like fun stuff, even though it's terrible, you know, like there are a lot of those. This is not one of them. There's very few moments that are really redeemable about it, but it did give us, you know, it did give us Ryan Reynolds Deadpool in a very roundabout way. It got Hugh Jackman to a bigger place in his career where he was actually producing and able to take ownership of this character, which I think we're all grateful for because this character has had one of the best like runs on screen that we've ever seen. I guess with Wolverine Deadpool, he'll now be the longest tenured. He'll pass Tobey Maguire again. So it's, you know, the fact that it exists isn't terrible, but I don't ever want to watch it again. So I'll be nice and say 3 because there are a couple of good things that came from it.
Well,
not necessarily that are in it.
All right, Jamie, good luck following that.
I give it a 2.5 out of 5 on Letterboxd, so I guess that would equal a 5 on here, but I do want to make sure it is lower than my Madam Web, because, and it's funny because I'm with Charlie on that. I think that this Madam Web to me is a bad fun and Wolverine to me is a boring fun, and I know that I have people in the comments who feel the opposite way, and that's okay. It's okay that we don't all agree on what's a better bad movie. Like, that's fine. Hmm. Also, don't forget, I'm a girl and I know what it's like to be a teenage girl, and I can relate to these girls doing dumb stuff because I used to do dumb stuff too. But anyway, we're talking about Origins. So 2.5, that rounds to a 5. I'm going to say 4.9.
Oh, 4.9. Okay. Mm-hmm. 3 plus 4.9. Well, I'm a Wolverine, so I can relate to throwing Humvees at.
I also murdered my brother's dad. So, you know.
Aaron, what's your score?
what has become of us?
It's tearing us apart.
It's tearing us apart.
Zero, Civil War.
All right, so I'm going to give it a 4. I'm going to ask Christine, go ahead and skip this part of it. Just go, I gave it a 4. Well, we can do this on social because I just don't want to hear people's mouth. Brandon Davis is a good producer and a good steward of this show because things like this, he really had to come and get me and ask me to do this. Because what does it matter if I don't like this movie? Does it matter? Does it matter? The whole internet hates a thing. And y'all want us to roll up, come see the freak so we can bash it. And I'm just like, who cares though? We know it's bad. Like, I don't, if it's your own movie, it's a 4.
This was never going to be a podcast where we were having it. We're saying,
am I the only one that volunteered?
Right. This is the opposite of the Spider-Verse podcast. This is going to be the opposite of the Deadpool and Wolverine podcast later this summer.
It's crazy. I hope so.
I mean, last time they were in a movie together, we saw what happened.
Oh Lord, don't even.
All right. I'm not like stoked about Sean Levy.
If you saw the Adam Project,
you know what I'm talking about.
Show, Charlie, he gonna ban you like Jim.
I don't care. Sean Levy's great. Free Guy was phenomenal.
I liked Free Guy.
Adam Project was good. I think
Adam Project was a movie.
Man,
I love Mark Ruffalo. Hold your head.
Hey, Jennifer Garner, Mark Ruffalo, 13 going on 30 reunion. Let's give it up for that.
All right. I'm giving this only because I gave Madam Web a 4.7. And if I could go back in time like she could, I would give it a lower number. Oh. I just think Madam Web is just the most.
That is actually really high for the way you talk about it.
Yeah, I know. Because I just felt like, man, if I give this thing a 3.7 or a 4, I feel so low, but looking back now, I'm like, damn, I could have gone lower and it would have felt more fair in my experience with that movie.
But I'm glad I didn't know that.
And that is the bar I have to go on. I am giving X-Men Origins Wolverine a 5 out of 10, which is not a compliment. It is just at least it misuses X-Men characters and lore and character and Marvel keywords and all sorts of stuff in offensive ways. And I just like, it's just not a good movie. Sure, we get Deadpool in the future kind of because of it, but ultimately it's just forgettable. It at least tells a story. Like, I can see what they were going for, which is more than I can say for the other movie we keep dogging on, but ultimately it's just not good. It's just forgettable, and it is another slide for the X-Men franchise, which will finally turn around with next week's movie. So our scores are a 4.9 from Jamie, correct?
Yes.
We have a 3 from Charlie. We have Aaron. What did you give it?
I got a 4.
A 4?
Mm-hmm.
4, wow. And I give it a 5. That brings us to a 16.9 divided by 4. The average rating is a 4.2, and we're going to round down because that's 4.2 if you're, you know, public school, but I know that goes down. 4.2 out of 10 for X-Men Origins Wolverine is the official score. That's not great. That's the lowest rating we've ever given anything. And that is anchored by Charlie's 3. So 4.2 out of 10 for X-Men Origins Wolverine. That's our review. Deadpool Wolverine can't get here soon enough to save us from some of these that we're going to have to do. I think this might be one of the lowest we have ever, because I don't know if anybody's going to give another movie a 3. But we'll see.
Just wait, buddy.
Maybe I saw a trend.
Uh-oh.
Hey, Dark Phoenix is coming, baby. Dark Phoenix is coming.
Dark Phoenix is better than this.
We'll see.
Charlie, last words for today's show.
I'm excited to watch you watch Dark Phoenix again.
I'm going to close the windows and lock the doors now. That's weird. That's creepy.
No, I appreciate getting to be here and talk about terrible movies. Bad movies are fun.
Thanks for
hanging. Whether they're good or bad, they're fun to talk about.
Jamie, any last words for today's show?
Yeah, follow me on Letterboxd at Jamie Jirak. You know, all those Oscar movies I got opinions about. I watched Braveheart last night. That was awesome. And as always now, don't take your phones out during movies.
Aaron Perrine.
At some of the corner, go read Jamie's numerous takes about the Oscars in multiple places. And also shout out to her for leading our Oscars coverage or helping us get all the pre-writes together for the eventual landslide victory one Christopher Nolan enjoyed. I'm going to go watch I'm Just Ken again. See you guys later.
All right, y'all. That is our X-Men Origins Wolverine review. On behalf of Jenna Anderson, go read some comics. On behalf of Brandon Davis, play our show for your mom, play it for your dog, leave us a 5-star review, and subscribe to the Phase Zero channel on YouTube. Thank you so much for 25 million views. Congratulations to Iron Man on winning his Oscar. And we will see you on Wednesday for our regularly scheduled programming and next week for X-Men First Class. If you have to subscribe to Disney Plus in the meantime to watch it, do that. If you have a physical copy of it, props to you. We'll see you there.